My name is Brother Moses Kasaka, and I'll be giving the scripture reading today. Today's scripture comes from Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Sabbath greetings, Vista Church, from a rainy and overcast San Diego. This is Brother Francis, and I am glad that you're worshiping here with us today. I trust that you and your family are all doing well and will continue to believe God and hold on to his promises. You know, we often say that the church is much more than a building. So the real question is, what are our real feelings now that we have to worship in place and see the church on the move? Maybe this is a blueprint for what the church will look like when the doors are permanently closed. So in any case, stay faithful, brothers and sisters. My message today is entitled Opportunities. Let's pray and begin. Father, thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the word that you've given us. We know that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we know that it's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So be with us today, Lord, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. To say that the past weeks and months were a difficult one would be the understatement of the year, perhaps the century. We're all in the same storm, but not in the same boat. In my observation, some boats are weathering the storm as they navigate through the waves very well. Some boats are listing on the side as they take on water, and other boats have already sunk due to progressive flooding. Yes, the pandemic is wreaking havoc on all of us. It's affecting our work. It's affecting the way we shop. And many areas of the way we live have changed, and there are certain things that will never be the same again. Now there are protesters marching the streets, and looters have put things on a higher level of intensity and mistrust. There is no question that these are dark times, but in it, Christians are supposed to shine. Psalms 18:28 tells us, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." Matthew 5:16 tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." John 1:5 tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. At this time, I would like you to open your Bibles to the book of Job. And we're going to begin at chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. And I can tell you, I know there's a lot of people that struggle with this particular book. There are some people that really can't wrap their minds around some of the things that happened. But, you know, as the saying goes, everything happens for a reason. So we should be in Job, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." The Septuagint translation shows that the word "son of God" in this verse were angels. I wish we had more information on the context of this meeting, the purpose of it, the location, and so forth. I find it interesting that Luke 3:38 calls Adam the son of God. Adam, as we know, forfeited his right to represent the earth. The fact that Satan came from the earth to this meeting may suggest that in his mind, he is there as earth's ambassador. Were there anyone else on earth that God could use as an example of faithfulness and obedience? Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Like a lawyer in court, Satan presents his case. He only fears you because you have a hedge around him and his family, and you continually bless the works of his hands. So, of course, but if you remove this hedge, we will see a new and a different Job. In other words, Job is wearing a suit of armor that is held on by one single bolt. And if that bolt is removed, we will see the real Job. "Very well," the Lord said. "Everything is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then the Bible says that Satan went from the presence of the Lord. On earth, Job has no idea that the stage has been set, that he is getting ready to be tested in ways he could never imagine. The Bible tells us that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, thousands of animal and livestock, and things happen in rapid succession. We're still in Job chapter 1. Now let's look at verse 13. "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only escape alone to tell thee.' And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The fire of God is fallen from heaven and have burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only escape alone to tell thee.' And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The Chaldeans made of 3 groups fell upon the camels and had carried them away, and yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only escape alone to tell thee.' And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they're dead. And I only escape alone to tell thee.'" Job is devastated by this news. In one day, he loses almost everything. He got up, he tore his clothes, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped, saying, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Not long after, there was another meeting where the angels are assembly before God. And just like before, Satan, after roaming the earth, came among them. Job's name is mentioned. There is no one on earth like him. And he stood out for maintaining his integrity, though Satan incited to ruin him without a cause. "Skin for skin," Satan said. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But if your hand strike his flesh and bones, he will surely curse you to your face." "Very well," the Lord said. "Then he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." And the Bible said Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Job soon was afflicted with painful sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. He took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife urged him to curse God and die. And he said to her, "Your words are like those of a foolish woman. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil?" When we think of Job, we can't just think of the question, why do bad things happen to good people? The true question is, why do bad things happen, period? If I ask you to show me on your hands how many true friends you have, will you hold up now two hands or just one hand? I guess in some households, people will hold up just one finger. Friends are a very important commodity to have. And I can tell you, I have some friends who, no matter what time of the day it is, or no matter what's going on, they are available. On the other hand, I have some friends, not so much. You have excuses about why they can't help. You don't have resources. Job is in despair. And when he needs comfort, his friends shows up. I love the part that they just sat there for days and said nothing at first. And I could see them sitting with Job, and as they watch him scrape his skin on one side and then scrape the other side. And as they look into his eyes, they could see the pain. And they sit there providing company and forming opinions. And if it was in today's world, some of those opinions would be posted on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And when they open their mouth, they accuse Job of doing something to cause his condition. Eliphaz spoke first, and he said, "Consider now, who being innocent have ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." Job 4, 7 and 8. Bildad spoke next, and he said, "Surely God does not reject one who is blameless or strengthen the hands of evildoers." Job 8:20. Zophar, speaking last, said to Job, "If iniquity is in your hand, put it far away. Do not let wickedness reside in your tent." Job 11:14. And through all this, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job 13:15. Job is the face of the poster for bad things happening to humanity. He doesn't know that he's going through these experiences because of the trust God has in him. All he knows is that life as he knew it has changed, and he is trying to find a way through the darkness. He said in Job 26:10, "He marks out the horizon and the face of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness." What does it mean to mark the horizon? We have all seen the sunset over the ocean and fade into the horizon. Job is not making a scientific statement. He is simply talking about what he has seen, including the tragedies that came upon him and the unfailing rising and setting of the sun, and a distant horizon that stretches like a boundary line between day and night, between light and darkness. Job is saying that God himself fixed that boundary and it cannot be altered. There is light and there is darkness, and they are separated by a line that God has drawn. Job knows that even if everything seemed to be turned upside down, threatened, or even destroyed, the horizon will still be there, unchanged and certain. And in that certainty is his hope. The story of Job is a difficult one. It asks us to believe something that is almost impossible to believe, and that is, someone will continue to trust in God in spite of the worst of circumstances imaginable. How can he continue to believe that God is his deliverer? Job points to the horizon, the one thing that has not changed for him or anyone, anywhere. Job knows there's a boundary between light and darkness. Darkness will come with the night, but light will return with the day. Regardless of what happens to Job, the horizon will be there, unwavering. His hope is even more certain than his suffering. Job had his pandemic, and we are having ours. Just like in the story of Job, many in Jesus' time also believed that suffering came as a result of sin. In John chapter 9, as Jesus and the disciples went along, they saw a man that was born blind. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither. This happened so that the works of God may be seen through him." The definition of the word opportunity is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something, to seize the day, to seize the moment. Now is a good time to seize the moment as we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now is a good time to seize the moment to be a good neighbor. Now is a good time to seize the moment to consider what is really important in this life. And now is a good time to seize the moment and make things right with God. Last month, I received a phone call from a church member, and they were asking me if I could come to the home to be a witness. The mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, which was spreading through her body, and she was trying to put things right and put things in place. I drove to their home on a Sunday afternoon. And when I got there, everyone was out in the yard. And I remember trying really hard to be present, not allowing the things that's going on in my life to distract me from where I was and why I was there. And as we waited for the lawyer to come, they showed me some of the things they had planted. And the mother finally sat down and she talked about her life, the things she did, the things she wished she had done. And she looked at me and she said, "I may never see her again in this life, but there's one thing I would really love to happen." And I looked at her and I said, "What is that?" And she said, "I would love to see you around the tree of life." And I said to her, "You can count on it. I will be there through God's grace." We signed the will, and in a couple weeks, I went back to that home because they requested an anointing. And the daughter pulled me aside and just vented about the good days that she have and the bad days she have with her mom and how the relationship with her siblings has changed and all the challenges that she is going through. And I listened. It seemed like there's so many people who are going through the same things, battling the pandemic and battling the family dynamics. But this pandemic have offered opportunities to affect change. Folks are worried. And we know this by the questions they are asked. "How long will I be out of work?" they say. "Will my business ever recover? How will I feed my children? Do I have to take the vaccine when it becomes available?" It is one thing to know the future, and it is quite another to be living in it. Matthew wrote his gospel centuries ago, and showed us that even when the prophecies are being fulfilled, it is only the beginning of sorrow. But I like how he ended his gospel because he wrote about the commission that Jesus gave us. In chapter 28, beginning at verse 19, he writes, Jesus' word, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to absorb everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In the Desire of Ages, pages 822, it reads, "Thus Christ gave his disciples their commission. He made full provisions for the prosecution of the work and took upon himself the responsibility for its success. So long as they obeyed his word and worked in connection with him, they could not fail. Go to all nations, he bade them. Go to the farthest part of the habitable globe, but know that my presence will be there. Labor in faith and confidence, for the time will never come when I will forsake you. Years ago, there was a young man who, his mother was already a member of a church, and he joined the church. And this young man was on fire. The following year, he went with Youth Rush, going door to door. And he shared this story in this particular home that he visited. He said that they knocked on the door and a young man opened it. And they went through the canvas, you know, who they were, where they were from, why they were there. And the young man told him that he is a devil worshiper. Now, in this young man, there's four of them, including him. And one of the guys there spoke up and said, I used to be a devil worshiper. And the guy who lived in the house asked him, well, if you were a devil worshiper, what are the four books that you have to read? And the guy was able to tell him all four books. And that, because they had a similar experience, it was able to break down that barrier, and they were able to present their material to this young man. And God is saying to us that go, even though your history might be messed up, even though your history is things that you would never be proud of if it came to light, God can still use some of those things. So don't be discouraged. 1 Corinthians 4:9 tells us that it says, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and to men. Everyone is looking to see how things are going to be worked out here. In the book Evangelism, page 305, we're reminded, it says, we must expect to meet unbelief and opposition. The truth has always had to contend with these elements. But though you should meet the bitterest opposition, do not denounce your opponents. They may think, as did Paul, that they are doing God's service. And to such, we must manifest patience, meekness, and long-suffering. The Lord wants his people to follow other methods than that of condemning wrong, even though the condemnation is just. He wants us to do something more than to hurl at our adversaries charges that only drive them further from the truth. The work which Christ came to do in our world was not to erect barriers and constantly thrust upon the people the facts that they were wrong. He who expects to enlighten the deceived people must come near to them and labor for them in love. He must become a center of holy influence. So each of us have these opportunities. This is a good time to step back. This is a good time to reflect. And this is a good time to connect with the Lord and say, where do you want me to go? Let us use this opportunity to glorify God and to work to save souls. Amen.
Hello, everyone. This is Sister Dawn and Donya Tayag. It is now time for Hymn of Affirmation, hymn number 311, I Would Be Like Jesus.
Earthly like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter. I would be like Jesus, that my soul may serve him better. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, is my song in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. All the way from earth to glory, I would be like Jesus. Selling more and o'er the story, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, is my song in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus, that in heaven he may meet me. I would be like Jesus, that his word well done may greet me. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, is my song in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus.
This is Brother Francis again. Join me in the benediction. Father, we thank you for being in our midst today. We thank you that in spite of things around us, we can still worship you. Let us inventory the talents that you have given us so that we could be equipped for the places and the opportunities that you will present before us. Thank you, Lord, that everything is in your mighty hands, and let us not be discouraged in knowing that you hold the future. Bless this church, Father, each member, and continue to prepare them. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. joy that the world cannot understand. Joy to know, joy to live, my joy I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live, my love I give unto you.
Church of Family, I'd like to remind you, this is Pastor Elson, about our mission as a church. And the mission is to put God in first. Second, if we do put God in first, that will lead us to be servants. We'll serve others. And of course, if we do serve others, the best way to serve, according to our brother Francis' message today, very wonderful message today, very inspired message, is to share our beliefs, you know, to make disciples. That was the commandment of Jesus Christ to us. So now I read Romans 6:22 for the conclusion of our service. But now, being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. May God bless you. Now I'll be unmuting everyone.
This session is no longer being